Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Good morning.
Hey, what's up? That's right. I'm being joined by my lovely bride today. As we... hold on.
I'm short. I can't see go. That if it's way over there.
There we go. So we are wrapping up, as I said, wrapping up Summer of More today. And as I said a minute ago, we were literally on a bus this morning.
Yes.
Yeah, I said this morning. Yeah, this morning. Thank you. Yeah. Yes. This is the first service, so I will just warn you. We are going to need some interaction
we
today.
We do. We need it today. You need all to right. be my third cup of coffee. Yeah. I've had two. I need one more. So make sure you're talking back to
me. Even if
today.
You're not sure, just none of these today. Just none of those.
Pretend,
so,
right? Wait, do they know who I am? I think, in case you're a guest, my name is Danielle Kelly, and I have the privilege. Thank you.
Do they know who you are?
I don't know. I am hoping there's first-time guests out there who do not know who I am, and I'm so
Your
glad to
be here. Your picture is on a billboard.
Oh, gosh. Which I don't love, by the way.
In the parking lot!
Okay, let me just go ahead and say, we are delirious. You're going to get the real us today. We are so,
so
delirious.
Yeah, this is my bride. And we're really excited about today because... We were talking about a month and a half ago when we kind of figured out that this was the road God had laid out for us to preach the Sunday we got back from Ocean. And we were like, okay, what do we think? How do we want to wrap up Summer of More? You know, because it's been great. The content's been great and all the things we've learned. You know, what is it that we want? And we ask each other. We're like, you know, what is it that we want more of? And she immediately said, well, you. She didn't say that. That was a joke.
I should have, though.
They believed
it. I do think that.
No, it's really funny, though. But we were just kind of talking, and it was very clear to us that what we're going to talk about today and what we really all kind of need when it comes down is more peace.
He actually asked me this question. And I immediately, you did. We were riding in the car, and you were like, so what do you want more of? And I was like, oh, peace. Maybe it's because we have three boys.
But one of whom is going to middle school in the fall.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. That's fun. But no, we thought about more peace. And then as we really thought about what we talked about for the last couple of weeks, you know, really, as you get more faith, this is some of the stuff April talked about, you get more peace. As you discover how to handle God's time better, get more time, you get more peace. As you discover more purpose, you get more peace. As you get more direction, you get more peace. Ultimately, what I think we're all looking for is when we lay our head on the pillow at night, to be able to go and to just be content and to just be confident that we've done enough for today. We've done what we were supposed to do. And honestly, if you're a Christ follower, what we're all looking for is just that peace that God's okay with us, that God's looking down and going, yeah, good job today. And so that's kind of what we want to talk about today is how to find more peace.
Yes. And so one of the things that I've noticed for me is why there's such an absence sometimes of peace in my life. What we're really looking for, you know, is a break from that anxiety. That's one of the key words we're going to look at today, worry and anxiety. Don't raise your hand, but answer this question in your head. How many of you feel anxious often? Okay? A lot of us. Yes. Oh, gosh. That's why I said, when you asked me what I wanted more of, more peace,
you
right?
You said don't raise your hand. I'm sorry.
Sorry. So, part of the reason I always feel like I can... anxious. I have these anxious thoughts. It's because there's one question that is circling in my head, and I kind of want to know if this is what happens to you, and it's the question of what if blank happens? You may not word it just that way, but in your head, the thoughts running through your head, what if blank happens, right? And it's just this, oh my gosh, I'm worrying. Like, what? We worry about our kids. We're constantly, if you're a parent in the room, kids, we're worrying about you, you know? If you're a grandparent in the room, we'll worry about our grandkids, worry about our spouse.
Worry if we're ever going to find a spouse.
Right. Yes, that's a good worry. Not a good worry, but a common worry. worry about money. You know, what if I run out? What if I can't pay the bill? We worry about politics, the weather, all those things, you know.
Does anybody have any relatives who just watches the Weather Channel all the time and then just worries for whoever is in the path of the weather? Me neither. Okay.
But there's really the what if blank happens, you know? And maybe
you have a lot more. People worry about terrorists.
Oh, yeah, worry about terrorists, people, yes.
People worry, do I have a problem with worry? I like that one a lot.
I have
worry
one for
in the morning,
students.
Worry at night, worry in the shower, worry on the way to work.
Yes.
You worry a lot.
Yeah, I do worry a lot. I started worrying about this message when I found out I was going to have to teach it, right? Worrying. For the students in the room, you may be really worried that you're going to lose your streak on Snapchat. There's not many of you in here this morning, but I understand. I learned that this weekend. Your streak on Snapchat. You're like, what if that happens, right?
What are you talking about?
I know. I got schooled on it on the bus. It was awesome. But ask a kid. Go in the hallway. Ask a kid. What's a streak on Snapchat?
You're using the word streak differently than I use the word streak.
I'm so sorry.
Because that is not something our students should be doing on Snapchat.
Please trust me that it's clean. I did not say anything that was not okay. I promise you. So.
That pastor's wife at Wellspring Church.
We keep it real.
Wow.
So, all these what if happens, all the worries in your life, right? And it leads me just to ask, like, why? You know, why, God? We can laugh about it. We can make a joke about this. We can't. But the truth is, we live in this just place of weighed down with all the what ifs may happen in our life.
Yeah, and that's really, that's where we kind of want to go today is, okay, why? Why do we do this? Why is this just this shared common thing that we all experience? Why do we worry when, you know, what we know as Christians is that God wants a life for us that is free from worry. And he sent his son to make that possible. We have a God who loves us completely, a God who knows everything, a God who wants to guide us, a God who is literally up there saying, I don't know why you're worrying. I have this. I am in charge. And if you're here today and you don't believe in God, it's one of the things I love about our church is that people will attend and you'll get invited even if you don't believe in God. And we're so thrilled you're here. We design our services for you. We want you to be here. We invite you to belong before you believe here. So jump in. But here's what I would say specifically about today. Whether you believe in God or not right now is irrelevant. You worry. You have anxiety. And you want it fixed.
Right.
So does it really matter if you believe in God or not at this moment? If we're saying we have something that we think can solve your worry, I think you should at least lean in. Because worst case scenario, we're wrong and you wasted 25 minutes. That's worst case. You're already here. You can't get up. So lean in today and just be open to a moment. Just be open to this idea that the God of the universe does have something to speak into your life and to speak into this moment about how we can begin to live our life with more peace. I really do believe that can happen. But kind of before we get to more peace, I want to kind of break down what it is we worry about. You know, when we worry, what are we worrying about? And we found some statistics we wanted to share with you. We wanted to kind of break down our worries. And here's kind of what we discovered. When you break down your worries, 40% of your worries will never happen. Just think about it. Think about what you worried about last week. Think about what you put in that blank about what if blank happens. You've been doing that your whole life. 40% of it never happens. It just won't happen. And so that's just kind of to help you understand. So what is the value of doing it if we're worrying about things that will never happen? Now, 30% have already happened. You worry about what you did last week. And, oh, how can I fix it? How can I change it? You know, we were at Motion this week, and one of the places where we sat was this really high inclined upper level. And I would say 2 out of 5 people who walked past us tripped and fell.
Oh, it was so funny.
It was glorious.
It wasn't, but it was.
Oh, it was glorious. It was glorious.
We think falling is funny in our family.
And this one dude, I'll sit beside Eric. This one dude, he was, let's just say he was healthy. And he came tearing through, and he tripped. And I saw Eric's life flash before his eyes, because that dude just went, whoa, and Eric was like, ah! Anyway, it was great. My point is, I'm laughing at that. But you know how teenagers are? All those teenagers, all those adults are still worrying today. They're still anxious about the fact that they fell 2 days ago in front of strangers. They're still thinking about it. You're still replaying awkward conversations you had months, or if you like me, years ago. Some of the clearest memories I have in my life are of times I blew it, of times I did something silly or stupid, and I still get anxious about it today. That is insane. So 40% will never happen. 30% have already happened. That means 70% of the time when we're worrying, we have zero control over what we're worrying about. Let's keep going. 12% are health related. 12% of the time we're worrying about health issues, which if you know anything about health, stress makes you less healthy. Anxiety makes you less healthy. So it's not helping. 10% of the time, it's criticism related. You know, we're fretting over what other people think. We're fretting over what other people said. We're trying to figure out if their criticism was real, if it's valid, and we work ourselves up into a tizzy. And then 8% of the time, we have legitimate problems that are in need of a legitimate solution. 8%. Now, I just want you to just stop for a moment and just kind of think through what you typically, when you get anxious, what you worry about. Where does it fall on the spectrum? And do you agree with these statistics? Because I have a confession to make. We found these on the internet. They could be completely made up. We have no idea. 100% of statistics on the internet are fake. But here's why we use them. Because they illustrate the point. They illustrate the point that the vast majority of the time, and you know this, I know this, we all know this, what we allow us to make us feel anxious and worry and it just drive us crazy and all these things that we spend this time fretting about, they either never happen or we have no control over them. They never happen or we have no control. And our Heavenly Father looks down and says, hey, 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 I know the future. I can fix your past. I got you.
All right.
Let that go, and let's move forward.
Yeah, so this actually happened to me. I wanted to kind of tell you a story at this point and see if you can identify with this about the, you know, just how it captures you. It's like you're in a prison of these anxious thoughts and all this worry. A couple of weeks ago, I was actually worrying about something that I would say definitely falls in the 40% of will never happen, but my brain, it was a freight train of disaster, just wouldn't let up on this thing. And I was kept just, you know, wrestling with it. And one morning, I woke up, and immediately when I woke up, put my feet on the floor, and I had a sick feeling, like in the pit of my stomach. I woke up feeling sick with anxiety and sick with worry. And I couldn't even really trace it back to what had triggered it. When I finally did, when I started thinking through what it was, I realized I had actually had the thought, we have three boys, two of them have a birthday coming up in August. They will be 12 and 7 years old. And I had a thought that I was going to forget their birthday a month from now. And it literally had me sick with worry. Now, that was not the only one thought that I had that was causing all that, but it just showed me how this anxiety can put you in a prison where everything in your life is a disaster, and everything in your life could be wrong, and everything in your life could be falling apart. Because let me tell you, my 12 and 7-year-old will never let me forget their birthday. I mean, even if you don't have kids, you were 12 and 7 at some point. Would you let your parents forget your birthday? Absolutely not. But it's a great example, I felt like. It really illustrated how impactful this can be on our life if we don't attempt to find more peace and let go of the anxiety. One of the really cool illustrations I feel like in my life, how I see this is kind of just picture your brain, right? Just picture your brain, your mind. Because all of this is happening in the, depending on how big your head is, the 5 to 6 inches right here. All of it's happening right here, right?
Yes, that is correct.
Thank you.
I'm with you, sister.
Thank you. So all the anxious thoughts, they really are just like this stream of fear is what I like to look at it, like a river cutting through my mind, a river of all these thoughts, of fear running through my mind. Because we all have thoughts that just keep going all day, every day, every day. You're constantly thinking something. You're thinking something right now, right? Thoughts are just running and running and running. And whenever you allow it to be fearful, when you're allowing to circle through, what if, when you're allowing to say, I'm afraid all the time, it just cuts like this channel in your mind. And eventually, every thought you have will filter through that channel of fear and doubt and worry. And the smallest things in your life will cause you to wake up feeling sick in the morning.
Yep. And the thing we noticed about as we were studying for anxiety is that anxiety is a result. Anxiety is not typically a cause.
Right.
There are things that cause anxiety. There, like she said, there was a thought. And we basically have identified three what we're calling anxiety activators. These are three emotions. These are three kind of senses that when you are there, it will lead to anxiety. And they are insecurity, helplessness, and isolation. We define insecurity as something bad is going to happen. When you're insecure, you're just unstable. You're insecure. You don't feel safe. You're just constantly afraid of what's going to happen. Helplessness is when there's nothing I can do about it. I'm afraid something bad is going to happen. There's nothing I can do about it. And isolation is there's no one to help me. That's what tends to cause anxiety. I'm afraid something's going to happen. I don't feel like there's anything I can do about it. And I don't feel like there's anyone that can help.
Yeah. So think about that one area. I want you to think of one area right now in your life that's causing you the most anxiety. This should take you 3 seconds because we all have something, right? You can probably trace it back to feeling like, I'm afraid something's going to happen. I'm not going to be able to do anything about it. And I'm going to be all alone. And even if it never happens, this is the kicker, right? Even if it never happens, emotionally, it's going to feel like it happened to you. Emotionally, you are going to walk through it as if it happened, right? So that's all the reasons why. That's all the places we find ourselves today. That's why we seek more peace. And the best news is that God shows us how to have peace.
Yes, he does. That's a beautiful thing about the Bible. It's a beautiful thing about God's word. It's a beautiful thing about a relationship with him is that he really does care about our specific problems and he really does provide specific solutions. Especially if you're here today, you don't believe in God, you have questions about the Bible. It is an incredibly practical, relevant document. Yes, sometimes you have to figure it out. You have to understand it. I mean, the newest parts are almost 2,000 years old, and they were written in a language that you don't understand. And so, you know, that's why you come here. That's why we meet together to try to help you understand what it is that God says and what he wants you to do in your life. And he specifically speaks to this issue, and he speaks through a man named Paul. We talk about Paul a lot here at Wellspring Church because Paul wrote about half of what we call the New Testament. Paul was an early church leader and pastor. Paul would actually go and plant churches, kind of we did. But the difference was Paul would plant a church, he would get it started, and then he would leave, and he would go plant another church. I'm really glad God has not called me to be a Paul. I'm really glad. One and done, God. That was the deal.
Yes.
One and done. And so, yeah. Give God some praise, yes. So then Paul would write letters to these churches to continue to give them instructions. And in his letter to the church at Philippi, he speaks specifically to this issue. I'm going to warn you, what he says to do when you hear it, maybe you've heard it before, maybe you grew up in church and you've heard this before and you're going to think, oh, really? But we're going to spend the rest of our time explaining it because it's not really, it's really. That really is the answer. And it really is the answer. So let me show you what he says. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn to the book of Philippians. We're going to be in chapter 4. And we're going to read verses 6 and 7. That's all we're reading today. And here's what Paul says. Paul tells them, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. He says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. That means how you fill in that blank, what you worry about, what causes you anxiety, those things. What he's saying is, instead of worrying about it, walk to God and talk to him about it. Bring it to God. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Talk to God about it. Tell God what you need and then thank him for all he's done. And then this is what Paul says will happen. He says, when you do that, then you will experience God's peace. It is a peace that exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Now, I need you to hear what Paul is saying. Paul is saying you were designed to live with God's peace. It is what he wants for you. It is what he has provided for you because he is all loving. He is all knowing. He is all powerful. There is nothing you're going through that he can't handle. There's nothing you're going through that shocks him. There's no surprises. God's not up there going, oh man, how did I not see that coming? Like, that is not an emotion God ever experiences. And he's simply trying to say, hey, come on. Just talk to me. Just bring it. To me, parents, you understand this, right? Have you ever had, you know, your kids, they worry about something and they're freaking out about something and they're just going over and over and then they finally find out, you're like, man, why didn't you just talk to me? Why didn't you just tell me this? I could have solved this problem. I'm a fully functioning adult. I can fix this. This one's easy. Why don't you bring it to me? That's how God's like. God's like, hey, just come to me. Just talk to me. Essentially, what Paul's giving us here. And what we're going to talk about for the rest of our time is Paul is giving us the antidote for anxiety. The antidote. He's saying, you are going to have anxiety. You're going to feel these feelings. You're going to experience these things. Let me give you the antidote. So now I want to go back. I want to break down what he talks about. Because the first thing Paul says is prayer. Prayer is the antidote for anxiety. And now I don't mean just sitting down and saying, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Like, prayer with God is just like a conversation with anybody else in your life. It's you getting alone. It's you getting quiet, maybe with your spouse, maybe with a friend, maybe just by yourself. And just having a conversation. And talk to God like you talk to other people. I always love it when people talk like this, but then when they start praying, Thouest Heavenly Father, bountiful and beautiful is thy name. Thine? When is the last time you have used thine in a sentence? But you start praying in the King James. Like, it's just crazy. And so God's there like, man, I hear you all the time. Just talk to me. Like normal. But you can pray. You can have a conversation. And here's the thing. As you pray, as you have those conversations, God begins to speak back. God begins to move in your heart. God begins to provide that peace that passes understanding when you pray and you say, God, I am anxious about the fact that my teenager is starting middle school. It is driving me crazy. It is making me anxious. I'm not speaking for myself. I'm speaking for somebody else on stage. It's making me anxious. It's causing anxiety. And when you bring this, there's just something spiritual about speaking that out loud and bringing it to our Heavenly Father, to where he is allowed to provide supernatural comfort, supernatural peace. And that prayer begins to activate your faith. Put the anxiety activators, but we have those. See, when you pray, you are reminded that you are not powerless. You don't have to be insecure because God is your security. Because God reminds you, he is your strength. He is with you. When you pray, you are reminded you don't have to feel helpless. You don't have to feel hopeless. Because as you reconnect with your father and as you grow that relationship, you are reminded he's there. He's got your back. I mean, come on, guys. He gave up his son for you. I think he can handle middle school. He'll be fine. He'll be fine. And then lastly, the isolation. Isolation. There is nothing more comforting than finding your community with the God of the universe. And not just the God of the universe, within his people. That's why we talk about how circles are better than rows. It's why we want you to be a part of a group. Because, yes, you can pray through this, but it's even easier to pray with other people.
Right.
When you have other people who have walked through this, and you have people whose kids are growing up, like, man, I remember the middle school anxiety. I remember that. And they can walk you through it. And they can say, here's what God did for me. You know, these three things, when you begin to pray, when you get to begin to pursue intimacy with God, he begins to solve the activators to anxiety. And when you solve the activators to anxiety, anxiety begins to lessen. And you experience what Paul calls the peace that exceeds all understanding. So,
yes.
Step number one is pray.
Yes. And I was going to talk real quick, just 2 seconds. When Trey said that prayer activates your faith, for the longest time I struggled with that. Like, oh, I'm just going to pray. You are not just praying. You are talking to the God of the universe. Allow that to remind you that you are stepping out in faith and trusting him. He can be trusted with any of the anxiety that you're taking today. I always looked at prayer as more as a passive thing. I'm not really doing anything. But when you are talking to God, you are activating your faith. And that has changed my prayer life.
No, that's a really good point. That's a really good point. Like, think about it. When you pray, you are talking to someone you can't see.
Right.
The other word for that is crazy. But literally, you are declaring with every word, God, even though I can't see you, I feel you, I know you are real, I'm going to talk to you, I'm going to share with you, and I'm going to believe that you are going to speak to me. I'm going to preach a whole sermon on that. That's great.
Ooh, good. Write it down, Eric.
Prayer activates faith. All right, go ahead. We got to go. Go.
I know. We're going to run out of time. Okay, so antidote for anxiety. First is prayer. Second, what Paul tells us to do, praise. And I know for some of you, you're like, what? I feel sick over forgetting my children's birthday. I feel like a crazy person. Like, I have thoughts that make me feel legitimately crazy. And you want me to stop in the middle of that, talk to God, and praise him. Or maybe the worry is so deep. Wait a minute. Praise God? I'm afraid that my life is going to fall apart. Praise does not fit in this scenario, right? But it's actually the very opposite. Because praise, whenever we thank God for what he does, and praise just means acknowledging who he is, saying who he is, and when we do that, when we stop and we acknowledge who God is and how he is real in our life, it just unlocks that fear that is just holding us back, right? It unlocks that thought of, I'm so crazy, I shouldn't be, doing anything in life other than just staring at a wall, right? It unlocks that to say, no, that is not a true thought. That is a lie. And when you praise me, you are reminding yourself that I am able to be trusted, that I am powerful, that I am in your life, that he is trustworthy and able to be praised.
And praise doesn't always just mean singing. Which,
right.
That is why we sing here. So you can sing in your car. There are times, I just need a good sing. Like I'm sad and I'll turn the music on, I'll sing a little bit, I feel better.
Right.
There really is, again, this takes a leap of faith here. There is a spiritual component. There is something supernatural that happens inside of the hearts of people when we spend some time reminding ourselves of the goodness of God.
Yep.
When we think about the good things in our life, when we thank him for what he's done, there's a supernatural thing that happens, and it is an anxiety killer. Mm-hmm. It really is the antidote for anxiety. So we have prayer. Paul says, pray, tell God what you need. He says, thank him for what he's done. And then the peace that passes understanding will fill your life. So we need prayer, we need praise, and then lastly, we just need practice. We just need practice. We just need to do this over and over and over again. We need to spend some time pursuing this in our life. We need to find people who can help us do this. It needs to be a part of our life, even when we are not feeling anxious. You know, a buddy of mine and I, we coach basketball together, which is usually great, but sometimes awful when I get mad at a referee. And they will literally look at me and say, "Your face is on a billboard. Your face is on a billboard." And I'm like, we need to take that down so I can yell at this ref. But we work with the kids in practice, and we're like, you are going to play like you practice. You're going to play like you practice. So this idea of prayer and praise is not something you just put in your back pocket for when you get anxious. Mm-hmm. It is a lifestyle.
That's right.
That you put into practice in your life, and then you systemically lower the anxiety. And then when the thing happens, when you lose your job, when something comes up, when your kids are going off to school, when these moments happen, you're not scrambling for how do I do this? It's, no, this is a part of my life. Right. This is who I am. This is what we do. I can handle this. I know how to pray. I know how to praise through the anxiety. I have people in my life. I can do this. Because this piece, as we said earlier, it is something that God wants for us. Real quick, I want to share something. Here's what Jesus said. Jesus said this in the book of John. John was another one of Jesus' followers, and he wrote a biography of Jesus' life. Here's what Jesus says in John 14. He says, "I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart." Guys, please don't miss that. Jesus says, "I have a gift for you, peace of mind and heart." And look at this. "And the peace I give," come on, "is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid." If you have a relationship with our loving Heavenly Father, this is your gift. If you desire this, you can begin a relationship with our loving Heavenly Father. You can do that. That is what God wants for you. It is what Jesus came to make possible. And the antidote for anxiety, the antidote for these things we feel, the antidote is prayer, praise, and practice. Tell God what you need. Thank Him for what He's done. And make that a part of your life. And I promise you, because I didn't say it, but God did, that when you do that, you will begin to experience more peace in your life, more security. The insecurity will begin to fade away. The helplessness will begin to fade away. The isolation will begin to fade away. And you will live a more confident life, not because of who you are, but because of what God has done in you and to you and through you. That is the promise of more peace. So, as we wrap up, I want you to go back to the thing you put in the blank, or the question we asked at the beginning. What if blank happens? Now, I want you to ask, do you think your time would be better spent moving forward worrying about that blank? Mm-hmm. Or would your time be better spent going to God and saying, "God, this blank in my life I give to you. This blank in my life, I don't know what's going to happen, but I trust you with it. And I can trust you with it because you've handled the other blanks. You've been there in the storms. You've walked with me through it. So I'm going to tell you, I'm worried about this blank, but here it's yours. And thank you, Heavenly Father, for what you've done in the past. And now I'm going to walk like I have peace. I'm going to fake it till I make it." Yeah. When the anxiety comes up, I'm going to say, "Nope, not today, Satan. Not happening. Push it. I have my Heavenly Father. I trust Him because He's never let me down before. And He never will." Even if you're not a believer in Jesus, you can try this week. You can pray. You can say, "Hey, God, I'm not sure you're there. I don't know if I believe in you or not, but I'm going to try this. This has been on my mind this week. I'm really worried. I would sure love it if you would help me out." And here's the amazing thing about our Heavenly Father. He'll speak to you in that moment. He will provide that peace that passes understanding. So wherever you are today, whatever you're struggling with, more peace is available. More peace has been provided. Jesus didn't say, it's a gift I'm going to give you. He says, it's a gift I've already given you. He gave you that gift 2,000 years ago. The gift is there. Paid for. The gift of peace is right there. And the antidote is simple. Prayer, praise, and practice. So as we close, we're going to close with a song. And my prayer is as we sing this song that you will begin to go through the things in your life that cause you the most anxiety, and you will begin to pray about them, and that you will begin to praise them, praise God for what he's done, and that you will walk out of here ready to practice what you learned in here. You won't walk out and say, well, that was a good message, and go right back to worrying.
That's right.
That you can walk out and cling to, okay, I'm gonna talk about this with God. I'm going to pray. I'm going to praise him. And I'm going to walk in the gift that he gave me. Because he gave each and every one of us in this room the gift of more peace. Let me pray for us. Father, we love you so much. Jesus, I just thank you for your clarity, and I thank you for your son and for how much you love us and for how much you want to give us this peace. You want to help us. You want to calm us down. You want to make us feel secure. You want us to know that you can help, and you want us to know we are never alone. So, Father, I pray as we sing, I pray as we praise your name, that you will just make it true in our hearts, that even for people in the room today who came in not believing you, Father, I just pray that you'll be so real to them in this moment that they will go out here and they will at least try this. They will attempt to pray. They will see what's going to happen when they test you, Father. Your word says, test me and see that I am good, Father. And I pray that you will do that today. I pray that you will make yourself real. And I pray that you will provide the peace that we desperately need. It's in your son's name we pray.
Thanks again for listening to the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit wellspringchurch.tv.